Brian Schlossberg, and this is Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. We hope this half hour of armchair travel will take you back to the good old days and help you understand they will come back soon. And tonight we introduce as our new co-host my longtime friend Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee, a New York publicist well known in travel circles. Welcome, Mary Ellen. So glad to have you. And why don't you introduce our guest?
Thank you, Dan. Tonight, in our 374th episode, our guest is R.C. Staub, author of 100 Things to Do at the Jersey Shore Before You Die. Welcome, R.C., to Travel Itch Radio.
I'm glad to be here.
And we're glad to have you. As a lifelong New Jersey resident, I'm very familiar with the Jersey Shore and have enjoyed many of the suggestions from your book. So please share with our audience how you became so familiar with the Jersey Shore.
Well, you know, the Jersey Shore was popularized by the railroads, which meant, 100 years ago, that were bringing people from Philadelphia to the southern part of New York to the northern part. And so in a way, that's me. I lived in Philadelphia in the 80s and 90s, and I spent a decade going to the southern part of the Jersey Shore from Brigantine down to Cape May. And then for the past decade, I've been working in New York. And during that time, we rented and then built a home in Seabright, which is the northernmost port of the Jersey Shore. They're very different vacation destinations and really not much crossover. So those vacation experiences, along with clocking many miles on the Garden State Parkway, were my entry to writing 100 Things to Do with the Jersey Shore.
Well, your book has everything, R.C., from glittering Atlantic City casinos to towering lighthouses. So let's talk about some of the highlights. One of my personal favorites is Lucy the Elephant. Where is it and what is it?
Well, Lucy the Elephant is 6 stories high, and you can see it from Atlantic City. It's about 3 miles south of Atlantic City in Margate City, right next to the ocean. It was originally built during elephant mania in the late 1800s. And in fact, there were 2 sister elephants, one in Coney Island and one in Cape May, that were there to serve as an attraction for developers looking to attract home buyers and renters to visit the shore. Lucy the Elephant is America's oldest roadside attraction and still looms over Margate. You can climb inside the elephant, you go up one of its legs, all the way up to the Halda, which is on the top, which is 6 stories tall, and you have a great view of Margate and of Ventnor. It's been a tavern, a hotel, and even this earlier this March, it was a temporary Airbnb location.
Yes, and just a little bit south of Lucy's location is a whole town that wound up on the National Register of Historic Places. You know I'm talking about Wildwood, where neon lights and 50 sounds seem to live forever.
Well, after World War II, the middle class started to do well, and particularly in Philadelphia, they decided we're going to Wildwood. So it became a super big population. It's where Chubby Checker started the twist. It's where Dick Clark had broadcast. It was a crazy teeny bopper scene. And fortunately, more than 80 motels that were built during the 1950s for those crowds have been maintained and are just now being celebrated for what they call space age, or from a more technical standpoint, mid-century architecture, and it's now called the Doo-Wop District. Sounds a little bit like the music I heard at the beginning of the show. It's a bit of Vegas by the sea with motels such as the Caribbean, the Bel Air, the Starlux, polishing up their neon and putting giant plastic palm trees and beach balls all around their pools. And not only can you experience and visit all these motels, but you can eat at the Doo-Wop Diner on the boardwalk. You can see a movie at the Doo-Wop Drive-In and restaurant. And then every day at 11 o'clock, you're on the boardwalk. There's a big announcement, and they say, pay attention, everybody stop. And they play the Star-Spangled Banner, Kate Smith singing God Bless America, and finally Bobby Rydell sings Wildwood Days.
Well, we have to mention the Painted Ladies of Cape May. In New York City, Painted Ladies patrol Times Square and try to make a quick buck by posing for pictures. But these Painted Ladies are a little different, aren't they?
Well, I think the Victorian architecture fans would turn their noses up at that association, although, of course, it's probably apt. Cape May has the largest collection of Victorian homes on the East Coast. And interestingly, you know, we just talked about Wildwood was so popular in the 50s and 60s. Well, it had far outshined Cape May. And in the 70s, a lot of developers like, let's tear down these old Victorian B&Bs and homes in Cape May, and let's build stuff like in Wildwood. That's what people want. But a small band of preservationists rallied around. They rescued the Emblem Physic House of this grand Victorian mansion in the middle of Cape May. They saved it from demolition, and that really led to the restoration of Cape May's Victorian homes and the appreciation for them. So just this past week, in fact, Cape May MAC, which is a nonprofit that spearheads Victoriana, reintroduced tours of the Emlyn Physic House, and they have a walking tour and trolley tours. And the Emlyn Physic House is the only Victorian house museum in the town, and they introduced an outdoor dining restaurant called Vintage this summer.
We're talking with R.C. Staub, author of 101 Things to Do, 100 Things to Do at the Jersey Shore Before You Die. And back to Mary Ellen for more on Cape May.
Isn't Cape May famous for bird watching? I hear it's the only place in North America included in National Geographic's top 10 destinations for bird watching.
Right. It is, in fact, the place you should go if you have any interest in. And you don't have to be some crazy person who knows every bird things, but every fall and spring, the birds are migrating from north to south or south to north, and they love the place where the Delaware Bay meets the Atlantic Ocean, which is Cape May at the southern tip of New Jersey. So particularly on the Delaware Bay side, there's a beach called Higbee Beach, and in early morning you can see thousands of birds descend on there. There's lots of parkland. There are several other observation posts throughout Cape May County. New Jersey Audubon maintains a robust website with lots of information. So if you have any interest in seeing them, that would be your first stop before you get in the car and head down to Cape May.
Cape May is also a great jumping-off place for Delaware and Point South on the Cape May Lewes Ferry. I've taken it many times and found it a great time saver as well as a luxurious ocean ride. Do you share that experience, RC?
Well, yeah, I just took the ferry this past January. My wife and I and our dog, Jack, we were on a trip from the south, and we landed in Lewes, Delaware, and took our car and got on the ferry. And it's only 90 minutes from Lewes to Cape May. And their marketing director, by the way, tells me it's often a great place to spy pods of dolphins and even humpback whales. And in the summer, you don't even have to bring your car to get on the ferry. You could leave around 5 o'clock from Cape May. You can go across to Lewes and come back, and you don't ever have to get off. You can watch whales and dolphins and even eat dinner on the boat. So it's a really wonderful 3-hour round trip on a balmy summer evening.
R.C., are the Atlantic City casinos included in your book, and how have they changed since gambling became legal in the 70s?
Well, you know, the fortunes of Atlantic City have as many ups and downs throughout its history as the roller coasters that used to grace their piers. The casinos made AC a big hot spot on the East Coast in the 70s and 80s, the Las Vegas of the East. But then gambling spread to almost every state in the U.S., and Pennsylvania and New York have casinos as well. So a whole bunch of casinos closed, but that winnowing has stopped, and the casinos are fighting back as destinations beyond gaming. There's now bars and restaurants right on the beach and a vibrant nightclub scene. There are now 9 casinos, up from 7 just a couple years ago, including the new Hard Rock Casino.
We have to mention Asbury Park, too, and especially the Stone Pony where Bruce Springsteen got his start. I believe it's closed now, but maybe Bruce will come back when the pandemic quiets down.
Well, you know, it's such a legend that busloads of rock and roll tours pull up to the Stone Pony just to look at it, just to see it from the outside. Because that's the place where not only did Bruce play, but Southside Johnny and the Asbury Dukes and John Bon Jovi played, and both John Bon Jovi and Springsteen still live within 15 miles of Asbury Park. And yes, it is possible that from time to time, Bruce is known to show up at the Stone Pony and also at the neighboring Wonder Bar. There's a Bruce Springsteen archive at Monmouth University and a Bruce Springsteen exhibit at the Museum of Monmouth County Historical Association. And I think that probably, certainly by later this year and next year, we hope that the Stone Pony is once again rocking with bands throughout that come from all over the United States and the world to play there.
Well, speaking of performing arts, are there other venues our listeners and your readers ought to know about?
Well, you know, right now it's kind of tough for indoor venues. The Monmouth County Monmouth Racetrack in Long Branch is hosting outdoor drive-in concerts with big names like Jim Gaffigan and, as I mentioned, even Southside Johnny and the Asbury Dukes. They're playing there. You pull up, you stay in your car, and it's a live concert or a live comedy show right out there in Monmouth Park.
Oh, I'm going. We're talking with R.C. Staub, author of 100 Things to Do at the Jersey Shore Before You Die.
And I love Long Branch, especially Phillips Beach, Pier Village, and Seven Presidents Beach. Wasn't it once known as the nation's summer capital?
That's right. In the Ulysses S. Grant wanted to escape the swampy heat of Washington, D.C., and he came to Long Branch, which had already been famous as a destination. Mary Todd Lincoln talks about spending a summer there with her, one of her cousins. And then six more presidents from Ulysses Grant up to and including Woodrow Wilson spent the summer in Long Branch. They called them summer cottages, but they were really giant mansions. And although no president actually stayed at this mansion, Monmouth University's Great Hall at Shadow Lawn is a reminder of that era. It's a mansion built in the late 20s as a summer home of the then president of F.W. Woolworth, and you can tour it today. And the university's library nearby was also once the summer home of Murray and Leonie Guggenheim. So you can experience a little bit of the nation's summer capital today at Monmouth University.
There's a lot of history at the Jersey Shore. Can you mention some battlefields that visitors can view?
Well, Monmouth Battlefield State Park is the principal Revolutionary War site at the shore. It's surrounded today by orchards and farms, just as it was in 1778 when George Washington, flush on the success of a very productive winter rallying the troops at Valley Forge, decided he was going to chase the British who were leaving Philadelphia on their way to New York. And he caught up with General Clinton's army near the town of Freehold. And there was one of the largest battles of the Revolutionary War. More than necessarily a famous battle from a strategic standpoint, it did serve as a moral and political victory for Washington because he was able to say, look, I've just trained the troops in Valley Forge. We are a better army. We're going to defeat the British, and we're chasing them all over town. They have an excellent visitor center and a large open fields that are great for hiking, particularly in the fall. And you can also learn a little bit about Molly Pitcher, the wife of an artilleryman who was wounded, and then she took his place loading the cannon. And Molly Pitcher's name is gracing many places throughout New Jersey as one of the famous women of Revolutionary War.
R.C., how about the Hindenburg crash site? I know the German Zeppelin exploded while trying to land on my birthday, May 6th, in 1937.
Well, Hindenburg represented the end of an era, the crash did, as the U.S. and Europe were exploring the idea of transporting passengers in a cabin, like a cruise ship today, powered by a giant hydrogen Zeppelin. Zeppelins had been flying for most of the 30s, carrying passengers, and then unfortunately the Hindenburg was coming down, almost touched land. There was a thunderstorm, And it exploded, and it was one of the most famous, unfortunate man-made disasters of the 20th century, because it was also recorded live on radio, and there is some video as well. So you can visit the site with the help of the Navy Lakehurst Historical Society. They have a museum there, and you can also see Historic Hangar 1, which is so large that it can accommodate two Zeppelins at one time.
Wow. I want to tell our listeners, you're listening to Travel Itch Radio with Dan Schlossberg and Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com, or check out the archive show on Facebook. And we're talking tonight with R.C. Staub, the author of 100 Things to Do at the Jersey Shore Before You Die. R.C., let's talk movies. Mary Ellen lived in Brigantine for 8 years and was an extra in Brian De Palma's only comedy, Wise Guys, which was filmed in Atlantic City. Mary Ellen, take it
away.
There
you go.
So, R.C., how has Hollywood impacted the Jersey Shore? We know Tony Soprano bought a house there. Snooki made herself equally notorious. And films like Annie and Stardust Memories were filmed there.
Well, you know, it's appropriate that that New Jersey is affiliated with motion pictures, because New Jerseyan Thomas Edison helped to pioneer the motion picture industry. And so that today we can, there are movies like Atlantic City with Burt Lancaster, Eddie and the Cruisers, the recent The Wrestler, and then even Godfather Part III that were shot at the shore. Tony, as you mentioned, Tony Soprano flirted with the idea of owning a beach house with Carmella in the famous Whitecaps episode of The Sopranos. And those MTV Jersey Shore characters, they still hang out at the shores. In fact, there had been a recent sighting of Mike the Situation at the Butcher Blocks restaurant in Long Branch last week with many of the cast members. So several of the Jersey Shore, MTV Jersey Shore people, they still live in Jersey, still go to the shore, still have a great time.
How about that? Is the Jersey Shore still home to noisy things like road races and quiet things like the Pine Barrens?
Well, you know, on Friday afternoons and Sunday nights, I think the Garden State Parkway serves as a road race with lots of noise. But if you're looking for something quieter with more than a million acres, the Pine Barrens is a great place to escape from the Jersey Shore. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned, we're talking about The Sopranos. There's an episode with Polly and Christopher trying to kill a Russian, and they take him to the Pine Barrens because it's so quiet. But if you're looking for a way to experience the water or explore the Pine Lands, the best place to start is with the Pine Land Preservation Alliance, or honestly, buy my book, because my book has three or four suggestions of places where you can rent a canoe or a kayak, or the best place to visit with your own craft to explore the waterways of the Pine Lands.
And speaking of quiet things, I love lighthouses. Please talk about some of New Jersey's best, including the oldest, the tallest, and the prettiest.
Well, the oldest is right near where I am right now. It's the Sandy Hook Lighthouse at the southern entrance to the New York Harbor, and also then the northernmost point of the Jersey Shore. It's the oldest continuous working lighthouse in America. The tallest is the Epsecan Lighthouse in Atlantic City, which just reopened. You can climb to the top of that. And my vote for the prettiest is the Hereford Inlet Lighthouse in North Wildwood, which really looks like a Victorian house. And it is the only lighthouse on the shore that is still operated by the Coast Guard. And they shine a light to tell people how to get in from the ocean into Wildwood.
R.C., many of our listeners are already thinking about fall travel when the summer crowds are down. Where are some of the best fall foliage spots along the Jersey Shore?
So we've already talked about bird watching in Cape May. Fall's the best time to go. And I mentioned also that Monmouth Battlefield State Park has great hiking around some orchards. That's a beautiful fall foliage destination. And you can pick pumpkins if you like at nearby farms. And for families, there's Storybook Land, which is a small kind of amusement park, but a way to experience fairy tales and stories that you've read as a kid. And they have a lot of fall programs, especially around Halloween. And then one of my favorite places, and one of the places that I was able to discover and hadn't even heard about, is the Second Wind Farms in Jackson near Great Adventure, where you can walk with llamas through a peaceful 2-hour walk in Collier's Mill Park. It's a very wonderful experience. And the llamas take a break in the summer because it's too hot, and they're then geared up in the fall to walk with visitors so you can commune with these wonderful animals.
And we're talking tonight with R.C. Staub, author of 100 Things to Do at the Jersey Shore Before You Die.
R.C., where are some of the best places to stay? I'm a big fan of inns and B&Bs.
Well, you know, hands down, Cape May is the best place for inns and B&Bs. Along Beach Avenue in Cape May, with a view of the ocean, is the Angel of the Sea, the Rhythm of the Sea, and Leith Hall. Then if you're up closer to New York and you're looking for a place to go in the Northern Shore area, Spring Lake has two really beautiful oceanfront properties, the Breakers and the Grand Victorian. And then a little bit further north near Asbury Park is Ocean Grove, and they have a dozen small B&Bs. And, you know, really the fall is a great time to come. It tends to also be less crowded because not everybody's trying to jump over to the ocean and swim.
I hear Summer Nights in Wildwood has 6 themed rooms and gets an occasional visit from an Elvis impersonator. Do you know that place or others like it?
Well, you know, we talked about the Doo-Wop District in Wildwood, so I definitely recommend the district's signature property, the Caribbean Motel. It has this wonderful space-age architecture vibe, and they've themed it all up. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of other smaller places in Wildwood. I don't think the Jersey Shore is necessarily super funky, but there's some really new, exciting, contemporary hotels. There's the Asbury in Asbury Park, the Wave in Long Branch, and they're bringing a whole new attitude of upscale entertainment and overnight stays to the Jersey Shore.
Are they near the Wildwood Boardwalk? I know lots of places besides Atlantic City have great boardwalks. Where are the other boardwalks on the Jersey Shore?
Well, we've talked about Wildwood, and Atlantic City, of course. The other boardwalk in South Jersey is Ocean City, which is a great place for families. And, in fact, they say they're the Jersey Shore's family vacation because it's a dry town. There's no alcohol. They're really not going after the teenage crowd. Even their amusement parks are all geared for kids from, you know, 5 to 6. And then in the northern part of the shore, there's actually 3 more boardwalks. One of them is Asbury Park, right across from, as we've talked about before, the Stone Pony. And then just south of that is Point Pleasant Beach Boardwalk with Jenkinson's arcades and amusements and an aquarium. Also a great place for kids. And then finally is Seaside Heights, which also has this wonderful sky ride that parallels the beach and is, in fact, the place where the first season of MTV's Jersey Shore was filmed. So you can enjoy it there. And I should tell you that we're talking about Bruce Springsteen. He's got a wonderful song that I have play on my iTunes all the time, which is Girls in Their Summer Clothes, and it's all about the Asbury Park Boardwalk.
Sounds great. I've got to ask you this one. How hard has the pandemic hit the Jersey Shore? Are most of the usual places open?
Well, all the beaches, all the boardwalks, all the amusement parks, and most of the historic and cultural sites are open. So if you want to come to the beach, you can go to any beach. You can walk on any boardwalk. The governor has encouraged people to wear masks outside when they're on the boardwalk, but it's not mandatory if you're by yourself or with your family. And along the boardwalks, you can find wonderful food like Johnson's popcorn, or you can buy Coors ice cream, Italian water ice. It's a really great place. Unfortunately, you know, with COVID-19, the nightlife venues such as the Stone Pony, the PNC Bank Arts Center, they're closed. and there's no indoor dining yet, but you can go and have outdoor dining in a lot of the towns like Red Bank, Asbury Park, and even Wildwood have closed off downtown streets and allowed the restaurants to filter into the literally into the parking spaces and create these outdoor venues. So if the weather's good, it's great. If the weather's not so great, it's a bit of a challenge. But you can also, of course, get takeout from any of these restaurants.
Marcy, is there anything that we haven't asked you that you would like to add?
Well, in the summer, if you're thinking of visiting New York or Philadelphia, or in the fall, the Jersey Shore is less than an hour away from each of those major cities, and it's a great way to experience the city and the shore and the ocean on one trip.
Our guest tonight has been R.C. Staub, author of 100 Things to Do at the Jersey Shore Before You Die. Thank you so much, R.C., for joining us on Travel Itch Radio.
Thank you, too, and you can get my book at 100thingsjerseyshore.com. Thanks very much.
Great to have you. And Mary Ellen, before we close out tonight, why don't you tell people what it was like being in that Brian De Palma movie?
Oh, I'll tell you, I loved it. It was my introduction into SAG. I have a role as the jewelry saleswoman, and my big line is, "Thank you, Mr. Acavano."
That's great. And so when did that movie come out? Do you remember the year?
Yes, it was 1984.
And once again, that was the only comedy ever made by Brian De Palma, so that's certainly a novelty. And it was filmed, you said, in Atlantic City, right?
It was filmed in Atlantic City. My scene was in Atlantic City, but they filmed up and down the Jersey Shore because the premise was the two perpetrators, Joe Piscopo was among them, were trying to escape from the police. They were on the run.
Ah, okay. And you actually had a speaking line, so that's good. Unlike most extras who just basically show their faces and that's all. So congratulations. you probably had to get a SAG card too, right?
I did. I got my SAG card. I thank Brian De Palma for that big line.
Okay. Well, welcome to Travel Itch Radio. You're going to be a wonderful co-host, and I'm glad to have you. We've been friends for a long time, and looking forward to having you on every week now. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Dan. I really appreciate it. And thank you, RC. I really love the book.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay. And now that baseball is about to come back, how about a cool reading companion about the history of the game? Consider my book, The New Baseball Bible, an unorthodox illustrated history that's not only the most unusual baseball book ever published, but costs less than a Saul book. Such a deal for 480 pages. Order on Amazon.com today or as a gift for a special someone or even for yourself. And that's it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. Next week, same time, same station, we'll talk to my friend Doug McKenzie of Visit Phoenix. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg along with new co-host Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night and stay safe.